Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to another session of The Next Step, episode number 256 of The Next Step. Hey, this is a podcast about life and love. It's about looking at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We call that look Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to, well, take a look with us. Kick back, relax, enjoy the next few minutes with us. This podcast is being brought to you as part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and by the good folks at epostle.net. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Yes, the good folks at epostle.net. Well, I got to tell you, Sunday we took a beautiful picture. Our dear friend Maida, she was here from Canada. Yes, you remember her from many, many, many moons ago. She was here from Canada, and we took a beautiful picture in front of the big Epostle Studio sign that hangs in front of the church now. Yes, at the Youth Ministry Center. By the way, we are celebrating our 10th anniversary this week. Thank you. Oh, thank you. You're being too kind to me. Oh, thank you very much. I like this clapping better than the little kids, I think, for the occasion. Anyway, we are celebrating our 10th anniversary at the Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and it's really giving us a time to kind of reflect on all the things that we've done. This 10 years has been packed, and I think those challenges that we had early on in the youth ministry has really made us into the tougher people. You got to think about it in these terms, too. The challenges are what prompted us to really push ourselves to all the things that we're doing. And so Sunday, I was just very, very happy to have with us at church services Maida Ichlatesh. She comes from Canada, actually Toronto, where she runs this incredible family services right out of the Armenian church. And you know what? I'll put a link on our show notes. We did an interview with her a couple of years ago. And it was just great having her with us. And we stood out in front of the big Epostle sign that now hangs in front of the church. So kind of like 10th anniversary, it reminds us that all the things that came out of it, and probably one of the most, not probably, the best thing that came out of this last 10 years has been epostle.net. You know what? I'm going to put a little link. There was this beautiful graphic that came out of the 10th anniversary booklet, and it shows all the different things that this small little parish, what we do is we call this parish, it's a church on the corner with a worldwide mission. You find it on the corner, and you find it around the world, thanks to the net. And again, you know, finding lemons and making lemonade is really, I think that's one of the special things about Armadoxy, considering that there's been so many lemons that have come our way as Armenian Christians, that we figured out a way of making that lemonade. And certainly on the corner in Glendale, we pulled that off.
No brag.
We have a small little church here, and I think within a couple of years, it was so evident that we were running out of space. So we said, hey, we got to expand. And we couldn't do it because of property prices. So we said, hey, how about if we use the internet? You guys didn't go away. Well, thank you. I'm glad you stuck it out with us, too. Yeah, we use the internet, and of course, the next step was born, Compass, In Step with Christ, the sermons from Glendale, our weekly videos that come out now called the Armenian Christianity Today, or Armenian Christians Today, daily inspirations that come in the form of Sinsash, and all of them made possible because of the overload of lemons that we got. We said, hey, we're going to make some lemonade. So we're celebrating this year. We're celebrating 10 years of the Church on the Corner with a worldwide mission, and you're very much a part of it, you as our listeners to the next step. So whether you come and sit in the church pews, or you're sitting across from a computer, or you've got us, you know, butted into your ears through your little MP3 player, and if I know there's a few of you that are inclined to burn us on a disc, and if you're driving along, welcome. I'm glad you're with us, and I'm glad I'm with you. Listen, I've got a lot to talk about today. We've got Anush coming up in a few minutes with her pomegranates. We've got a song of the day, but let me kick it off with where we left off last week. Remember, we had done that little trip to Montebello. We had walked that 17 and a half kilometers from Pasadena to Montebello, where we were able to go and offer our small prayer and our small contribution to the overwhelming contribution of Armenians worldwide to be able to say we are here. But the following day, remember we did the podcast, and then I told you I was on the road to Santa Barbara. Well, I got to Santa Barbara that night. I got to share with you some of the things that happened there. First of all, great, great, great group of young people over there. I've got to tell you, it's always a pleasure to go out to Santa Barbara. It's a little bit out of the way. It's Southern California, and it's not. It's really far enough away from Southern California. It's on the central coast of California, but it's still relative to the entire landscape. It is Southern California, but it's far enough away to be away from all the hoopla. Now, few dimensions over here, okay? Before I get to Santa Barbara, let me explain what I mean by the hoopla. If you're a minority, there's certain dynamics that take place within your community. How about if you're the majority minority? You know what that is? That's like you're inside of this small little town called Glendale, and you're the majority minority, which is the Armenian people. And so this is where our youth ministry center is. This is where I've been ministering for the last 15 years. I was in Pasadena for the first 6 years, and then the last 10 years have been in this in Glendale. So Pasadena, I would say maybe about a 10-minute jog, 15-minute jog between the two cities. They're basically in the same area. So what's it like? Well, you can imagine, okay, there are certain self-worth issues within any minority group, and this is a reflection of the people, okay? You've been pounced upon. You want to get your voice out. Now you become a majority, and all of a sudden those self-worth issues get thrown out. Now, we won't talk about those details. I've certainly talked about it in the past, but for right now, suffice it to say that there is some dysfunctionality within the Southern California community, and it was evident last week when on April 24th, this day of unity, this day that all Armenians are supposed to come together. And I shared with you what happened at the Divine Liturgy. Remember last week I shared with you. Well, the following day, guess what? There's like a small town called Pasadena. Yeah, I've served there too. Now, they have an opportunity to build a memorial. And the Armenians there are in two camps. Two camps to the point that one group doesn't go to the other group. You know, it's like that. What's that? There's a story like that, right? It's like this guy is deserted on, he gets stranded on this desert island. And then 20 years later, they go and they find this guy. They finally rescue this guy. And they say, hey, this is beautiful. You've created for yourself a life here. And he said, well, I have to do that to stay alive, you know? And they said, well, what is it? We can understand you've built a house over here. You've built something like a school. But you've built two churches. Why two churches? He says, well, this is the one I go to, and that's the one I don't go to. This, believe it or not, there are people like this still in this day and age within a minority that still play these petty games. And it became obvious, and tragically, it became an embarrassment to the Armenian people. Last week, when the Los Angeles Daily News issued an editorial saying, hey, Armenians, get with it. There's so few of you, you know, you've gone through all this genocide, and now you have broken up into two camps, and you want to make two memorials, you want to make two monuments in a small town called Pasadena. Get with the program. You're going to find your strength in unity. well, this is a call that all the Armenian leaders make. It's a lot of rhetoric. You know that, right? You know that they don't want unity. But now for a non-Armenian, especially an editorial of a large newspaper, to call them out on it, I mean, ultimate embarrassment. There it is. And tragically, this is what we go through. Tragically. Like I said, we're celebrating 10 years over here in Glendale, and I've really, the first couple years, I got so sick of the politics in Glendale that we just became a church that does our own mission. Now, you say, well, you should always be. No, there's a lot of churches that go out to the government, they go shake hands with this mayor and this congressman and this person and everything. Hey, you know what? They're politicians. They're primary reason for existence, the raison d'être. Yeah, you like that? I know a little bit of that too. Their primary reason for existence is to get reelected, get with the program. Get with the program. There's very few people that are doing it for altruistic reasons. What do you think? Mr. Smith goes to Washington and we're all Jimmy Stewarts out there? No. Okay, so they want to get reelected, and to do that, they have to play the politics. Okay, that's fine. Okay, let's admit it. Let's say that they're politicians. A couple years ago, there was a politician. He's in the school board. He can't advance beyond that. He came up to me and says, "Why are you doing this?" I said, "Look, hey, listen. You're a politician. I'm a priest. I know." There's some people that want to say we're the same thing, the same garbage, right? Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to argue. You could say whatever you want. You can call me a hypocrite. You could say whatever. But let's divide our mission. You have a mission to your constituents over there. I have a mission that is involved with God. I'm involved with bringing people to this kingdom. And yeah, there may be some crossover, but I need to focus in on my mission. And you need to focus in on yours. And so he says, well, how come you're not supporting me? I says, it's not a question of support. You show me where the line is, where we intersect. And at that point, we could decide. But at this point, I'm doing a mission. You're doing a mission. God bless you. I'm not here to fight you, and you shouldn't be here to fight me. Well, they continue. But you can't fight God, can you? And by that, I don't mean that, hey, I'm so self-righteous and look at that, but I'm saying we're doing some incredible work. When I look at all the programs over the 10 years that we've had over here, whether it's In His Shoes, whether it's the domestic violence, the Dativ outreach, the programs that come out, the blood banks, the fight for justice and peace, the Darfur issues, the genocide awareness, all of these things that come out, you say that, okay, this is a group of people here that is really committed to the gospel message. It's not about us. It's about how do we reach out? How do we feed the hungry? How do we clothe the naked? How do we visit the sick? And certainly that's something that is mandated by the gospel that we serve. Okay, so all that as a preface to what's going on here in the Los Angeles area. And so I wanted to share with you, I went up to Santa Barbara. That's a little ways away. And the reason why I like there is because they're not influenced by all this, and there's a group of young people. But unfortunately, there is no leadership over there from the ranks. They have an Armenian Student Association. And I got to tell you, it was kind of tragic because I always, always love to go to Santa Barbara to join this group. But this year, unfortunately, sometimes those little egos get in the way. And what happened was you had a group of students who had come with all the right intentions but didn't have the skills to put together this gathering. And so they had put together about 200 people that had come out there, and the messages that were given were, you know, they were okay. Hey, look at this is what who the Armenians are. They took like some slides, you know, those old Soviet slides, those black and whites where they're, you don't know if they're photographs or they're like hand done or something. They projected these up on the screen and said, okay, this is Hovan Estumanyan. He is a writer. This is Arshile Gorky. You know, he was a painter. And I went painfully through 20 minutes of this. And okay, now where's the connect? But I guess the biggest mistake was that in between, with beautiful hearts and intentions, they said, okay, we have so many guests here, we want to introduce you to some Armenian hospitality. And they took a break, and so did some of the people. They lost a little bit of their audience. But still, all in all, it was a beautiful gathering. And we had an opportunity to really talk about the Inishu's mission. Now, here's an interesting thing that came out of all of this. And I saw this over and over. I saw this a few weeks ago when I was at GCC speaking over there, when we met at the monument, when I went up to Santa Barbara. You have these political leaders, political quote-unquote. In other words, they're not in American politics, but they are approaching things politically. And interestingly enough, everybody feels very comfortable to quote Martin Luther King Jr. Well, after all, he was a civil rights leader. He was part of the civil rights movement. And you see justice coming out of it. Hey, you see me, Father Voskin, hey, I'm always quoting him. He's one of my heroes, right? Okay, well, we got a lot of people quoting him, people who are not from the church camp. And they take it, they go out there and they talk about Martin Luther King. He said this and that. And he gave this kind of direction, like, you know, you have to be an advocate for peace and everything. Then they talk about Gandhi, because certainly Gandhi was able to move the masses. What they don't talk about, where they stop, is the inspiration for Martin Luther King, for Gandhi, which is Jesus Christ. And guess what? Guess who has that? We have that. And we're not talking about it. As the church, as the Christian church. I mean, you look at even Gandhi, who was not even a Christian yet, how influenced he was by Jesus Christ and his message of nonviolent resistance. You look at the Dr. Martin Luther King. Hey, don't forget that before that doctor, before that Martin Luther King name, before that junior that is at the end of his name, there is a reverend. He was a reverend of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's message of love, of purity, of having that love in your heart. It's not all about what they tell you it is. The evils that are out there and Jesus coming back and destroying Jerusalem and doing this and that. No, it's about loving people and caring about people and being out there. And as I've shared with you, as I'm a firm believer of this, and that's the reason why we're at episode number 256 of The Next Step. 256. What is that? Two to the eighth power. I should know that, right? Being a programmer, being involved with binary numbers from an early age. Yes, from the way early age of 25, right? We had already figured out what 2 to the 5th was. We were doing 32-bit, and then we got the 64-bit, and then we figured out 128, and we're at 256. But I digress. We're at episode 256 of The Next Step. Why? Because we realize that we need to take that next step. You need to take the faith into some active role in your life. And hey, we're doing that. 10th anniversary of a church in Glendale. 256 episodes of The Next Step. Moving forward with this very basic idea that Jesus Christ is not something you wind up on Sundays, but is something that is intricately involved in your daily life. You act and you move because of the love that Christ has put in your heart. And that love needs to be transformed. It needs to be transforming. It needs to be touching people. You need to be touching and reacting with people. And so hence, this is where we're at. All of that as a prelude to today's show. I went up to Santa Barbara, got a little bit of energized myself, and I'm back. I'm going to share with you a few more ideas as we come back, because we're going to talk about the Latinos as another minority in the area and what's going on with them. For right now, let's take a little break. Here is the song of the day. We always feature a nice little number, something that speaks to us, speaks to the soul. I hope this one does for you. Enjoy.
Oh, Lord, I'm tired and I'm weary, but I must toil on till the Lord comes and calls me away. the morning is so bright and the Lamb is the light and the night is as fair as the day.
Peace in the Valley, original gospel harmonettes. That is a gospel song on this Thursday before Easter, if you're in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. Yeah, we're recognizing. We are 5 weeks apart. This is the longest. You know, the Eastern Orthodox and the Western celebrate Easter at different times, based on a formula that calculates the moon, the cycle of the moon in relation to Passover. And the Armenian Orthodox Church, Armenian Orthodoxy, was with the Eastern Orthodox until 1923. 1923, we went over to the Western calendar, and hence we started celebrating, and that's why here on The Next Step, we do all of our Easter stuff with the Western world. It's kind of neat, huh? In the Armodox tradition, it's like taking a little bit of East and West and kind of fudging with the calendar, because Easter has to be every single day of your life. But recognizing that we are in the Easter season for the Eastern Orthodox, this being Holy Thursday, thought I'd play a bit of gospel music. And you see how many traditions we can tap into. And we got gospel, we've got Armenian Orthodoxy, you got Eastern Orthodoxy, all kinds of things. Basically to say one message, that Jesus Christ is Lord, He has risen. Rather long transition. I know, that's the miracles of podcasting. Yeah, it was like about a, what is that, about an eight and a half hour break that I took. Actually, I had to run out to a diocesan meeting, and I'm back. I'm back to finish up, hopefully on time, and I've notified Susie that we're running a little bit late, but she is so incredible because she's going to get this podcast out. But I was at the diocesan clergy conference. Now, necessary evil, okay? Everything is structured. We got to go to these meetings, okay? So once a year, they have the annual convention, and it's over a few days where the clergy get together, the different organizations get together, and of course, the assembly is tomorrow, which is the delegates from each of the parishes, they get together. Now, today was the clergy meeting. Now, I got to tell you why I'm excited. Because I know you next steppers, you're saying, wait, something's wrong. This man doesn't like to go to meetings, and now he's come back from a meeting. He's been there for 8 hours. Yes, like I said, the miracles of technology. I did the first part of this recording earlier this morning when it was nice and hot and sunny. It's pretty dark right now in Southern California. But why I'm excited? Well, first of all, tomorrow they've asked me to give the spiritual message. And I find this a challenge. You know, we've been talking so much here on The Next Step. We've been talking about Armadoxy. And now you get to actually bring that message to a body that can, well, effectuate some bigger changes than we're used to. From our small grassroots movement, we're talking on a different level. So I'm excited about that. That basically a ready audience, or let's say supposedly ready audience, they're going to be listening to what we're talking about, and definitely I'm going to be talking about Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy, as it applies for us today, in a way of making Christ's words something that are meaningful to our life today. It's so important, you know, when you think about what's going on. And like I said, I came from a clergy meeting, and there were frustrations, because sometimes when you start talking about these concepts, when you talk about church items, it's very difficult to get out of the pulpit. In fact, I heard one priest today, he was prophesizing, I guess, talking about how being a priest is akin to being Jesus Christ on earth. And you go, well, okay, sacramentally, that's one thing, but what are you talking about over here? You know, what are you talking about? Does it get to your head, and at some point, do you need to take a break and slam on the brakes? Well, that kind of transitions to where we're at today, because I want to share with you an article that appeared in Time magazine just a couple weeks ago, and it was the cover story. It's called The Latino Reformation. And, you know, here on The Next Step, we talk a lot about how the Armenian church is really ready for a reform in many ways, administratively, as well as a reform liturgically. I heard an interesting thing today. One of the priests said that, you know, our liturgies, and especially the sacraments, are not ready for shortening, but they are ready for editing. That was an interesting way of describing it, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. It's not about shortening the services, but editing them means that they become more relevant and more meaningful for people. For instance, and this was examples that he cited, for instance, in our baptism service, there is the prayer over the water and then the prayer over the oil. Now, I, as well as I think every priest that I know, maybe there are priests, we do not do the prayer over the oil because we use holy muron. It has already been blessed. It has received the ultimate sanctification, okay? So it's kind of redundant, and so we skip over that prayer. And so in an editing process, you would take out that prayer and you'd say, well, why was it there originally? Well, obviously, back in the early centuries, the priest would consecrate or would bless the holy oil, the muron, at the time of the baptism. So each time a child was baptized, they would bless the water, they would bless the oil. But considering that now we use holy muron, and that muron has already been sanctified, has already been gone through such a tradition of blessing, that it's redundant to use that prayer. So an editing process would say, okay, this prayer is not necessary, and not just cut it apart because we want to shorten the service, but they would say, you know, this needs to be edited. Or for instance, when we remember in our prayers, you know, to the seafarers. Remember the people that are traveling by sea. And well, today, you know,
We have airplanes. How about the people that fly by plane? Well, it's not in our prayers. It's not in our liturgies because there hasn't been an editing process. Okay, so why not add that as well? We pray for kings. We pray for princes. Well, yeah, there are not too many theocracies and monarchies that you pray for, and some of them are actually obscure too. But there are certainly presidents, there are certainly prime ministers who equally need our prayers. Can we include them as well? Is there an editing process ready? Is there an editing process that needs to take place? Obviously there is. And this is part of a reform. This is part of a reformation that would take place. Obviously, the whole purpose of that is to bring people to Christ, is to bring people into the fold of the church, into Christ's body. And you know that this is what we do here on The Next Step. This is what it's all about, is to really make it relevant. Well, interesting article, Time Magazine, April 15th, okay, this year. Not even, let's see, what is that, 2 weeks ago. And the cover story, The Latino Reformation Inside the New Hispanic Churches Transforming Religion in America. And the byline is Elizabeth Diaz. Now, interesting for me because in many ways it parallels the work that I do in Glendale, parallels a lot of the work that I see needing to be done and a lot of the things that are happening within the community, namely this... Well, we have a phenomena right now in Glendale, and here's the phenomena. Interestingly enough, people who come to the Armenian Church, the Armenian Apostolic Church, Armenian Orthodox Church, will come there because it is a traditional edifice, traditional institute, and this is the place that you come to identify yourself as an Armenian. And yet for spirituality, even the ones that do not speak English... Now get this, the ones that do not speak English, or not at least are not fluent in English, will opt for English-speaking churches. Phenomenally, there are a few churches that I know within Glendale that the primary language is English there, and it is a congregation made up exclusively of Armenians. And these are these Pentecostal, these are these evangelical churches. Now, the Jehovah's Witness, interestingly enough, have overcome that language barrier. They have, yes, English, and they do target Armenians, Armenian-speaking people. And they have rallies, huge rallies, where they bring people together. And this is a very important one for me, especially working in Glendale, in a mission in Glendale, and where you have such a large number of Armenian immigrants. And the parallels that I found with the evangelical church, the Latino experience, are remarkable. So let me share them with you. First of all, it talks about how these churches are full, standing room only, packed places. And it talks about the evangelical boom is inextricably linked to the immigrant experience. Evangelicos are socially more conservative than Hispanics generally, but they are quicker to fight for social justice than their white brethren are. They are eager to believe in the miraculous, but also much more willing to bend ecclesiastical rules to include women in church duties and invite other ethnic groups into the pews. Sounds Christian to me, doesn't it, huh? What's going on here? Well, the church is becoming relevant. Relevancy. Haven't we been talking about that? Isn't that what Armodoxy is all about? Isn't that what we've been trying to talk about? Exactly. Do you see why I'm clicking with this article? It's so intriguing. Basically, you have a test group of people. What I've been struggling for over here through Armodoxy has been tested now. And so you could see it over here. You could see it in this article. Now, it comes down to something very basic, and we have talked about this, you know, as much as people want to believe that theology and background, yes, there are a group of people that will be tuned into that, and that theology will be attractive, but for the vast majority, what do you suppose is the reason why somebody will go to one church as opposed to another? What do you suppose? You know, back in the 1970s, there was a lot of transcendental meditation. There was a lot of Eastern philosophy. And I remember a Psychology Today article, which I clipped out and I don't know why, but I remember specifically this article. 1978, I was a student of psychology at the University of Southern California. And I remember seeing this article, and I clipped it out. Why do American youth go to Eastern, not Eastern Christian church, but Eastern traditions? Why do they follow yoga, transcendental meditation, the Hare Krishnas? And interestingly enough, it came down to one simple matter, and it came down to belonging. They felt welcome there. They felt like they had a home there. And listen to what it says in Today, 2013. What are we, 30, 40 years removed from that article? Here it is, Time Magazine. And they said, they call one another hermana and hermano, sister, brother. Church is what they have, said Paradis, who is from Guatemala. They don't have many places where they can feel welcome. That's what they are looking for. That's where they have a family, a place to belong. That's what they're looking for, right? Well, what else are they looking for? Listen to this. Goes on. It says, the evangelical church says this. Listen, you want to come to our church? If you are Mexican, we will show you a church where you can sing mariachi music, explains Rodriguez. If you are Puerto Rican, we will have salsa. If you are Dominican, we will have merengue. If you are Colombian, we will have cumbia. Interesting. Okay, we're not messing with the faith, but what we're doing is that we're making it accessible. We're making that faith accessible. We're making it relevant to you. And like it or not, the way you make it relevant is by talking to the people, by conversing with the people. How is that person going to feel like he or she is part of that community if they can't understand? And this is very important. And it comes back down to a very simple thing of language communication skills. Now, we're going to take a little different look, because here in the story, it also talks about third generation Latinos, Hispanics. Okay, now listen, here's a pastor who's ministering to them. It says, after he took over New Life from his father-in-law in the year 2000, Choco bought a farm outside the city and converted it into a home for recovering drug addicts and prostitutes. Then he purchased a liquor store near the church and turned it into a cafe to reduce loitering and crime in the neighborhood. He recalls, we started doing English services to reach third generation Hispanics who love their culture, who love their rice and beans, but prefer to hear a sermon in English. I started doing that, and the church started growing. Now, you ready for the next sentence? This is very, very important. It says, New Life didn't just grow. It exploded. Gotta communicate with the people. And this is really probably the biggest trapping of the ancient churches, especially liturgical churches. When it's done like an opera, when it's done like a performance, what happens? People love it. They'll come and listen to it. And you can listen to it once, twice, three times. But after the fourth time, you realize that it is not a viable solution. In other words, it's not necessary for your existence. So you can skip out on it. It's okay to get by without it. You need to be talking to people. People need to understand what it is. And the message here is so clear, that relevance. Christ was relevant. That's why he was accepted. He was relevant. He spoke to something that nobody else was speaking to, basically overcoming death with life. How can we present that to the people? Well, it's simple. We have the means. We have the resources. And listen to this. If anybody else, it's the Orthodoxes that have the actual truth. We have that message of life over death. We have Jesus Christ. Now, how do you present that? If people can't access that Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter that you got him. It's like, okay, put him up on a pedestal, put him up there on the altar in a gold chalice. Well, if people can't access that chalice, what good is it? Christ was accessible. Christ was always with the people, and this is the greatest challenge that we have as a Christian community. The article is very interesting, and there's a lot of dimensions. I invite you to read it. I'll put a link on today's show notes to this article. I believe Time Magazine should at least have this archived someplace. So I'm hoping, in case Susie says that she'll find it. And we will put it up on our show notes so you can check out the entire thing. Let me read you the last part. It's kind of poetic. It says, "The U.S. and the entire Latino world is changing. The rock on which God is building the Latino church is all over America, is a blacktop parking lot in a suburban Maryland and a low-income high school in Illinois. Right now they may be hard to find, but as Jesus teaches in Matthew, may they who have eyes see." Let's take a little break. Here's Anush with today's pomegranate seeds.
The Hummingbird Feeder. Spring is definitely here. We're blessed to have a beautiful lemon tree in our yard that not only gives us lemons year-round, but also draws hummingbirds to its flowers. We really enjoy watching the birds hover in midair, drinking from the lemon blossoms, and because of this, my daughter Ani gave us a hummingbird feeder last year. It wasn't your regular run-of-the-mill feeder, but a beautiful, funky-looking feeder. The bottle is clear glass, but stamped in a pretty vintage pattern. The base is an antique metal with dimensional metal flowers attached to it to attract the birds to the red-colored nectar that also came with it. It's really beautiful. Suspending it from its antique metal chain, we put it near the lemon tree and waited for the birds. One or two birds flew by, but they didn't even stop. They did look at it, though. They perched on the lemon tree, thought about it, turned around, and flew off. Okay, maybe they didn't like the location, so we moved it. Still no visitors, at least not to the feeder. Maybe it's the nectar. We looked up recipes, cooked up a new batch, dropped in a little red food coloring to make sure that it was going to do it. We hung it up and waited. After a week, it still sat there. Full, beautiful, but not attractive to the birds. Oh, there was a little bumblebee visitor that kept buzzing by. Months went by, and then just last week, while I was picking out tomato plants at the nursery, I passed a hummingbird feeder display. They weren't beautiful, just plain, clear glass, red top, yellow cheesy plastic flowers, and on sale. My mom has been staying with us, and I thought it would be a nice diversion for her to watch the birds if I could get it to work this time. I bought the feeder and headed home. Looked up a new recipe, 4 parts water, 1 part sugar. I didn't have any coloring this time, so I left the solution clear. I filled the feeder, hung it up, and forgot about it. It was my mom who discovered the feeder and the birds. 2 days later, I came home from work and asked how her day had gone. That's when she told me she had been watching the birds all day. I looked out the window at the feeder, and it was almost empty. While I stood there were many visits, sometimes 2 or 3 birds at a time. And since that day, we've been filling the feeder every 2 days. The birds are visiting regularly. They're beautiful, and they bring us so much joy. I've been thinking about this for a few days now, and there is a lesson to be learned here. We are just like the feeders. We're hungry to attract joy, friends, happiness, love. We can dress ourselves up and change our appearance. We can color our sweetness even. Sure, we'll get noticed, but putting up the walls will only deter, not attract. Or, we may attract someone, but it might not be who we were hoping to attract. When we're truly transparent, honest, truthful, and really ourselves, that is when we're the most attractive. It doesn't matter how plain and ordinary. Letting our true selves shine through will allow people to discover our true goodness and then keep coming back to drink of our friendship. And in order for all this to happen, we have to be approachable. I think I finally figured out why the birds weren't attracted to the first feeder. It was because there was nothing to hold on to. The feeder we have now has a perch for the birds to land on. It allows the birds to sit for a while to take a drink. It's welcoming. Real friendship requires time. Time to stop, rest, and allow others to drink of our friendship. We too need to be welcoming. We need to reach out to one another, extend ourselves, and allow others to hold on to us too. In this way, we can share the sweetness of our lives with others and receive life's blessings in return. This is Anush wishing you a pomegranate day filled with hope, sweet nectar, and ripe with possibilities.
Thank you, Anush. That was beautiful, and I love the way you brought it to a metaphor. But, you know, I would take it another way, especially in the context of what we're talking about, is how do you get the people to the, how do you get the birds to the feeder? Well, the feeder becomes very relevant, right? It's a necessity. Well, I only take it that way because I just got through talking to you about the Latino Reformation and how to make the church more accessible. Really, that's what it comes down to, right? It's that accessibility. But beautiful, beautiful. Pomegranate seed today. Now, each of Anush's pomegranate seeds that you hear over here inside the pomegranate is just her reading her blog. And I invite you to her blog. There is a link on our show notes today. Go do check it out because there's all kinds of stuff that she writes about. And once a week, she takes some time out to do a special one for us, the Next Step listeners, and we very much appreciate it. And here is Susie to tell you how you can get involved and encourage this work. Here's Susie.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the fifth year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vatkin calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie. I appreciate the small little message, but a very potent one. In other words, if we like this, we need to be encouraging of it. And I want to tell you a little story that just happened a couple hours ago at the clergy meeting I was at. A priest, one of my clergy brothers, who I hadn't really spent too much time talking to in the past, he came up to me and he said, "Thank you very much for doing these broadcasts, for getting the sermons out online." He says, "I know the entire website backwards forward." He says, "One question, when I get on there and I want to donate," he says, "I press on the donate button and it goes to some other organization." And I explained to him, "Well, yeah, that's a means by which we accept credit cards, and instead of us handling and processing credit cards, we have an organization that does it. I think it's called It's My Seat or something. But when you press on that link, yes, they take a small little fee for the processing fee, and then the donation comes to us." And I turned to him and I said, "You know, Dead-eyed, my brother in Christ, I said, I appreciate it, but please help yourself to everything that's on that website." I said, "It's for you. Don't feel the need to make a donation. And I said that wholeheartedly because Christ gives it to us freely and he expects us to give in turn freely. And certainly we haven't put any restrictions on our website. You're free to take it. And I imagine the vast majority do. But when it comes down to donating, I especially felt for this priest because I know the conditions. And I said, please don't feel it. And he says, no. He says, it's a matter of principle. He says, when I pay for it, he says, first of all, we appreciate things that we pay for. Second of all, it's a matter of principle. I don't find this kind of material, I don't find this kind of content anywhere else. And so I really appreciate it. And I want to show my appreciation. And I was so moved by that. I was so touched by that because I know this ministry is really reaching out to places. It is really a reformation that's taking place virtually, and it is meeting up with it is reaching out in places where we never expected. And the emails that we receive, people saying that, you know, they got turned on to this, or what did you mean in that in that one small little place, it tells you people are listening and people are catching on, and it's so important. And like I said, tomorrow morning, I'm going to be speaking at the Diocesan Convention, and an opportunity to pass along this information, to make this accessible to a different group of people. So I need your prayers on top of everything else. God, give you the strength to support us. Please pray for me as well. Pray for our entire ministry, Epostle. And with that, before I sign off, I want to let you know this is our 10th anniversary for a small little church that really is the base for all of our work. Whether it's In Issues, it's Epostle, it all begins from a small little parish of believers. And it's on the corner in Glendale on Kenilworth and Stocker. Small little church, maybe holds about 300 people, but thank God we fill it up every Sunday, and thank God that there is an energy that that reaches out beyond those 300 people. You know, people come up to me and say, you know what your problem is at your church is that there's no parking. Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem, but it doesn't stop people from coming. You know why? Because it is a place where Christ resides, and if you put Christ in the center, there isn't really anything that's going to keep you away from it, right? So that's what we're celebrating. That's our 10th anniversary. And I invite you to join us this Sunday morning. We're going to be in Glendale where we're going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy, and then in the evening we're going to be having a very special banquet in Burbank, California. And if you're really out of the area, hey, we're going to keep you with us because all of you are in my prayers, and that really puts us together. So next week, when we get together on the next step, I'm going to share with you all kinds of fun things. I have some fun things that happened at our anniversary party. Hey, that brings us to an end. I need your prayers. I'm going to go right now as soon as we get this out, Susie gets it out. I'm going to be working on my sermon for tomorrow and looking forward to shaking up a few souls, okay? So give me your prayers. Let me feel it, okay? Because I want to move some people. This is it. You know, you get some chances in life. You need to take advantage of them. Hey, listen, I want you to join us throughout the week. We are at epostle.net. You'll find today's podcast as well as all the podcasts we've done in the past. Join us at In His Shoes. You'll see all kinds of videos, neat things going on. We have a few different channels. They're all accessible via the epostle.net. Easy to remember. It's Apostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. And also on Facebook, all kinds of places you can see us. St. Peter Armenian Church. You'll see a lot of pictures there from this weekend. St. Peter Armenian Church, Glendale. Also Apostle, In His Shoes. We're all on Facebook. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Honest with Their Pomegranate Seeds, for Vahe, our webman, this is Father Vasquez, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.